He told her that they were two of a kind, in actual fact, as Beauvoir would point out 20 years later in The Second Sex, they were not quite two of a kind, the stakes were not even, women were regarded in a completely different light from men. 1929, women did not have the vote, Beauvoir did not go to the École Normale Supérieure, women were not admitted. She didn't even go into a cafe until she was 19 for the first time in her life because cafes sold alcohol and nice young women didn't go into anything but tea rooms. As for the sexual mores, of course, you know, Sartre, you know, was busy like his comrades sowing his wild oats, as they so nicely called it, with prostitutes and in brothels, and Beauvoir was a nice young bourgeois virgin until she met Sartre. So this was the difference. This was what Sartre was proposing for them to go out and, you know, have adventures. Beauvoir stood to lose a lot. I mean, her life was a scandal. She shocked France. But somehow she knew, I think, that no man was going to widen her horizons in such an exciting way as Sartre. And he not only proposed that they both had adventures, but that they would always be there for each other, waiting when they came home from their adventures to mull everything over together, just the two of them, in a kind of warm verbal cocoon. I think that in many ways their pact was about writing. It was a pact between writers. Most of us have had relationships which distract us from our writing, but the Sartre-Beauvoir relationship was an edifice built around writing. When Sartre was writing Nausea, Beauvoir told him, "You're too philosophical, this is too much a treatise. Write more like the detective novels we both love. Put in, you know, make it fictional. Put in yourself. Write about love where you're teaching." And it was really, he dedicated it to her. She went through draft after draft with her pencil. They always did with each other. And it was Sartre who told Beauvoir that she was at her best when she portrayed her own experience. One day, as they sat in a noisy, smoke-filled Paris café, ça n'a pas beaucoup changé, discussing the draft of Beauvoir's latest botched novel, because it took 10 years before they got published. They took 10 years to write and rewrite and put things in drawers. During that time, Sartre made a suggestion. He said to her, "Why don't you put yourself in your writing?" Beauvoir writes that she felt the blood rush to her cheeks. "I'd never dare do that," she said. "Dare," Sartre said, "screw up your courage." And I think that was something he always said to her, and she didn't take much for Beauvoir to screw up her courage. They worked together for several hours a day. During the war, they worked in the floor often, or the dome, because, of course, they stayed in such grungy hotels. They were unheated, and the winters of the Paris, winters during the occupation were the most severe winters, I think, that Paris has known. And so they went to cafes for heat and because they liked the atmosphere around them. And then when Sartre moved to the place, to the Rue Bonaparte to live with his mother, 42 Rue Bonaparte in the Place Saint-Germain, she went round to his apartment, Beauvoir, every afternoon at 4 o'clock, and they worked beside each other at two different tables from 4 till 8. That's how they did it, 2 4-hour slabs with a long lunch, no alcohol until later in life, and then a long afternoon work, 4-hour slot, and then an evening off. People ask me, wasn't the relationship terrible for Beauvoir? She was jealous. Sartre determined to the grounds of their relationship. I really don't think that. I think that she benefited perhaps even more from their relationship than he did. Sartre was a crazy kind of guy, verging on madness, really, and she anchored him, I think. You know, when you read about the quantities of speed he took in the 1950s, journalists used to take a sort of half a tablet or a quarter of a tablet of Corridran, as it was called, to get themselves going in the mornings. Sartre crunched an entire tube of the stuff. And then in the evenings he hit the whiskey bottle and downed 3/4 of a bottle. And then he had to take not one, but 5 heavy sleeping pills to get to sleep. And then the next day wound himself back up again. I actually think that Sartre would rather have liked to have been Che Guevara. And And he wasn't. He was just a writer. In the 1950s, when the world around him seemed so messy, so bad, so he was very depressed in the 1950s by the world situation. And I think that the Corrie Drahn was about giving him the urgency to write as if, you know, his life depended on it. And he did think he was going to save the world by writing because of the speed. So Beauvoir gave him an anchor, and Sartre gave her the possibility to lead the kind of life she did. How many men would have said to her, go out and have adventures and come back and tell me about them? And encourage her always to be more adventurous and more courageous in her writing and in her life.